said for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Sunday rather than from the Feast of St. Michael, the readings this morning. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who was wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm and another to his business, and the rest laid hold of his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroying those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to the servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning it could well be that we will spend our time discussing the announcements during the sermon time, because there's so many things that that the bulletin has this time, and also that need to be emphasized particularly. Of course, we know that today is the Feast of St. Michael. And in all of our anxieties and in all of our troubles and all of our worries and concerns of today, I think this is very timely that we go to St. Michael and that he ushers in for us today a week that is probably unusual in that this week is so filled with some of the giants of our holy religion. St. Michael has been fighting since the very beginning. And that which he fought from the very first were the horrible, horrible words that have filtered down and percolated all the way down to us. "I will not serve." And this has come all the way down to us. And the very center of all of our concerns today are centered around I will not serve. Go to St. Michael and ask St. Michael for his help. We have a catechism class today after this Mass. It will not be kept too terribly long for the sake of the convenience of the parents who have to wait around while the children are in class. This week, I think it's Tuesday, we start the month of October already, and the year is spent, really. October is the month of the Holy Rosary. Aside of the fact that we surely know to place emphasis on the importance of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we know that, that's granted. But if we do not place emphasis on the Holy Rosary with all that is due to the Holy Rosary, then anything that comes to us that is untoward, we will be deserving of it. If we want to be safe, if we want to be protected, if we want harm to stay, keep its distance from us, it will be by way of the Holy Rosary. Every day. Every day and every day. Not just during the month of October, but every day of our lives. Turn to the Rosary. We here, as is customary, will have the Rosary procession to Dadul Shrine. That is when weather permits, because the weather now begins to start getting rather dubious. And when weather permits, we shall travel to the shrine in procession for the Holy Rosary each evening of October. And we will begin the procession like we always do at 10 minutes after 7 every evening. When the weather doesn't permit, we'll of course say it in the church here. We have some years ago started talking about the formation of little chapels in our homes, little what we call monastic chapels. We have constructed a few altars, little altars, tiny altars. They're in the back of the church. If any of you do not have any, some of you have them, of course, but as those of you who do not have them, feel free to pick one up and carry it home with you. And you will be given, as time goes on, further instructions about the construction of the completion of this little altar. Put this altar in a very prominent place in your house, in your home. Fix up a little chapel around it. Learn to go there and learn to get your consolation from that spot. We do not know what is ahead of us, what is in store for any of us. Heaven knows we don't know. And those of us who follow around in the news affairs of the world know how precarious things really are at this moment. And we have to turn to prayer more than ever before. We have always emphasized the interior life. We emphasize it almost constantly. And it is this interior life, if anything is going to save us, if anything is going to give us the peace that we speak of so often, it will be the reconstruction of our interior life. The interior life of the soul. All other things matter not a trifle. The only thing that matters to me, and the only thing that should matter to each one of us, is the protection of our interior life, because that is what will cause us to sanctity. in those little chapels, learn to use them. When you are heavy burdened, go there. Who knows, the day may be just around the corner. Who knows? Who knows? That this little chapel in your home may be the only thing you've got. That's where we are. We do not seem to want to understand that. That's how close we are to trouble. So I encourage you, my beloved people, to do everything you can to bring this about. This is not just a little figment of our imagination. And we're not trying to turn your homes into monasteries or convents. Heaven knows we're not. But we are trying to form your homes into sanctuaries whereby you and those you love will reach holiness of life. That's all we're interested in. This coming Thursday is the first Thursday of October. And of course, for those of you that live close by, we have two holy hours on that day. That is a day that we've set aside for special reparation. We've got to make reparation for the sins of the world, for the sins of those we don't know. We've got to make reparation for the sins of those we do know. We've got to make reparation for the sins of our beloved ones. And lastly, and most important of all, we've got to make reparation for our own sins. And who is it in this house at this moment who can pick up a stone and throw it at anybody? If there be such a one, let him stand tall and cast that stone. I just happen to be standing. Not by choice, but I just happen to be standing. I need a chair to sit down on with everybody else. Friday is the first Friday of October. And we have here exposition of the Blessed Sacrament all day long. Saturday, of course, is the first Saturday. Let us not use these days to develop what we might call passports of some form to salvation. These days are dreadfully important. But without the interior life, they crumble to nothingness. These days must be used entirely for our own benefit. Wednesday of this week is the feast of our holy guardian angels. A precious, precious feast. But for the guardian angel that we've got, where might we be? In former times, in days of plenitude, and when the harvest was truly ripe and beautiful, the guardian angels were classified as the protectors of our holy Benedictine order, especially in this country. Well, the harvest is not so full anymore, and what was once classified a great feast is no longer classified as a great feast. But we do classify it here as a great feast. And we do make emphasis and stress the feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. We must pray to the guardian angel that we've got. We must ask Almighty God to send legions upon legions of these angels down to each of us and to protect us. Protect us because we are being shot at, really and truly, from every direction today. We've got nothing to fall back on for health and help and strength. Pray to the angels. Keep your angels occupied. And as I've told you before, be specific in what you want your angel to do. Be specific. I promise you, you will be at the end of each day quite surprised at what he has done for you. Thursday of this week for us is another big feast day. It is a feast of the little flower. The little flower, as you know, together with Saint Joseph, is the patronal feast of a patronal saint of this church, our Abbey Church. I wanted to have the little prayer cards today, but I couldn't get them. I'll get them tomorrow. We hope to get them tomorrow, so they'll be available next Sunday. Little prayer cards to honoring St. Teresa, what we classify here as a very lovely, one of the most lovely pictures of our holy little Teresa. Pray to St. Teresa. Ask her the same things. Ask her to take away and to keep from us the mischief of those who would hurt us, of those who would harm us. Ask St. Teresa to pray for this place and to guard this place. We hope from the bottom of our hearts, as unworthy as we may be, that we will always be for those who place their hope and trust in us and in what we try to do here, that we will always be such. Only with God's help can this be done. Only with God's help and your prayers. Friday is the feast of St. Francis. It's the feast day of our St. Francis. Yes, maybe he'll be a saint one of these days. It's the feast of our Father Francis. Maybe I've got him classified as a saint, and therefore it slipped. Pray to St. Francis. We know all about him. And we know, too, how much for peace this man was given. Ask him for that peace that we must have in order to survive. And keep him busy as well. And Saturday is the feast of St. Placidus, who was one of the young children who was taken up by St. Benedict and who became very special to St. Benedict together with his little boy, St. Maurice. Pray to these men, these saints, and ask them to help us spread this order of Benedictines. Pray to these men for vocations to these, our houses, our monastery and our convent, that God will send us the vocations we need in order to grow and to spread. We have little prayer cards in the back of the church in the vestibule. Help yourselves. Take these prayers and take these little cards and pray the prayers that are on them. As I said earlier, this is a very special week. Every day is something. Actually, tomorrow is the feast of Saint Jerome. And he was a very learned man and scholar. Pray to him and ask him to help to get for us the ability to understand. To understand what it is to believe in God. To understand what it is to read about God. To understand what it is to work towards sanctity. Saint Jerome will be a big help to us. So every day is a day that we must honor the saint therein. We are indeed in troublesome times. You know that. You know more about that than we do. We know more than we should know. And the little that we know is very disquieting. So the much that you know is probably even more disquieting. And any place you call, any place that work talks to you, expresses this disquietude. The only way that we can find peace, which we are entitled to, is by way of our holy religion. That has the answer. I have had myself and the others here, my confreres here also, have had telephone calls. They come to us all the time. They come to us asking for prayers. Everybody's in need of prayers. I ask you to help us pray for these that ask for prayers. But in the process, they talk. And they tell us of conditions around where they are about and where they work. And they tell us of their associations with so-called fellow Catholics elsewhere and wherever and whoever. And you know, they tell us that they are amazed at how out of touch and how totally unfamiliar that the average so-called Catholic is with not only the belief of his church, but even the history of his church. And that the average Catholic outside is about as familiar with his holy religion as we might be familiar with Hinduism. And there's one thing about it, I dare say, that the Hindu is probably much more in tune with his belief and is much more committed to his belief than the average brother and sister Catholic that we may have. They simply have lost their religion, and they are stranger to that which gave them birth. That is where the real tragedy is. That is where it is. And when trouble comes, eventually and whenever, these are the ones, they will have nothing to fall back upon. They will have nothing to give them the strength that they need in time of trouble. My beloved people, not because I say so, not because you're in this room at this moment, but try to get out of your religion everything you can. But in the process of getting out of your religion everything you can, then put into your religion everything you've got. That is the road to peace. And you might say, who am I that I should request this? And I might say to you, who am I that I might stand before you and tell you this. It's all so serious, my beloved people.